Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. This is Orrin Johnson filling in for Sam Shadd. Joining us today is Carson City District Attorney and candidate for Justice of the Peace in Carson City, Garrett Pruitt, next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
This summer, all roads lead to Hobie's Casino for trucks or bucks. Win up to $1,000 in cash every week. Then buckle up and win a brand new Tacoma or $35,000 in cash. Shift the winning into high gear at Hobie's Casino.
Welcome to Story County, where history meets innovation, and a pioneering spirit continues to shape our future. At the heart of the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, we power the future with global leaders in technology and manufacturing, driving progress that reaches far beyond our county lines. From advanced manufacturing to tech innovation, our industries are creating thousands of quality careers, fueling a vibrant economy that benefits every Nevadan. But it's more than just growth. Our community is our foundation, supporting families, empowering local initiatives, and creating a place where everyone belongs. Be part of a legacy built on bold ideas and boundless possibilities. Join us in building a brighter future right here in Story County. Story County, helping build Nevada's future.
Is bringing big changes for Nevada businesses. If you have more than five employees and have been operating for 3 years or more, you must now comply with new state retirement plan mandates. The Vegas Chamber 401k plan makes it easy, offering a proven, customizable, and cost-effective plan for employers and employees to save with tax advantages. Visit VegasChamber.com to explore options and see how the Vegas Chamber can help you start saving for your future.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shadd, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shadd.
And welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. This is Orrin Johnson filling in for Sam Shadd. With me today is Garrett Pruitt, who is currently the Carson City District Attorney and is a candidate for Justice of the Peace in Carson City. Welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me here.
You're running for Justice of the Peace, and so you're obviously not running for DA again. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And your term is up, so one way or another, you're done with the DA gig here. So I just asked to reflect a little bit on your time as DA. What was great? What do you wish you would have done differently? Those types of things.
So in my time as DA, we got a lot done. One of the first things that we did is we increased the number of jury trials that we did. So obviously during COVID, jury trials dipped quite a bit. And I think the jury process is important. It's important for the public to have a say in some of those biggest cases. But it's also important for the prosecutors to have really good skills when it comes to those trials. So, I mean, we were averaging just a few a year and almost over tripled what we did in previous years just last year.
So how do you, it's interesting, when you do more jury trials, that meant that before you're sort of dealing cases out, that sort of thing, seeking a good resolution, how do you sort of up that without compromising trying to get to a just resolution if you're doing that before?
So what I found was is there were a number of cases that I think were essentially probably pled a little bit lower than they should have been. Some of it due to some prosecutor inexperience. We'd had some turnover, and so we had some new prosecutors. Some of it due to just maybe some worry about how good their skills were and if they were up to the task of some of the really hard cases that had come through. So it was really taking a look at those cases and being like, no, these are the ones that need to go forward. The proposed resolution by either side is not justice in this case. And so those are the cases we focused on. For the large majority of other cases, as you know, and the majority of cases do resolve through some sort of plea, ultimately seeking out justice in each and every one of those cases. So we're just taking a look at that, a small subset of cases to make sure that we were doing justice in those.
No, that's fair. So what else? What other sort of metrics have improved since you've been the DA?
So our civil output, so we right now we have 5 civil attorneys who are working in the office. One of them is our assistant district attorney. One of the goals that I had was to streamline the services that we were providing the city. So there is a lot. If you think of any city like any Fortune 500 company, there is a lot going on, from land acquisition, zoning, all the contracts that keep a city afloat and working. I wanted to make sure that we were providing not only good representation, that it was being done in an efficient manner. So we streamlined some things in the office to ensure that attorneys were maximizing the time that they had on their projects. We also spent some time working with our city manager's office and with some department heads to make sure that we had proper prioritization of tasks so that we could get things done in a timely manner to move the city along.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think a lot of people don't fully appreciate how much being a DA is not just about criminal prosecution. That's about 90% of any political campaign for DA, I think, as we've seen around the state. So you've got 2 people running to be your successor. I assume you're Switzerland on that as you're running for judge. But whoever your successor is, what do you wish that you knew when you started? What wisdom would you impart to them?
So the wisdom that I impart to them is to, I mean, I think it's important to don't be too quick on your decision making. Sometimes that's the easiest thing to do. You have that situation that comes and it can just be a snap. Make sure you've accounted for all your variables and even look for some of those unknowns, because they inevitably find a way to sneak their way in, so that you ensure that you're making the best decision for your community.
Example, there's a story behind that.
Always a story behind this. So whether it comes to staffing, specific one. So I've sought to address some issues within our justice court and our court system to improve efficiency, not only for the litigants that are there, for the victims, everybody involved. One of the easy things that we were looking at were times we were holding court. Did we have proper translation services available? Whose responsibility was it for those translation services? And while it may have been clear in the NRS exactly what was to be done, things that I didn't perhaps know about, agreements that people had 10, 15, 20 years ago that obviously I wasn't a party to. And I'm like, well, that doesn't really jive with the NRS, right? So looking for those things to ensure that when you're trying to fix a problem, you've accounted for some of the obstacles that you're about to confront.
So part of the reason I asked that question is, you know, when you look around at the DA's races and offices and that sort of thing, Northern Nevada, except for Douglas County, I don't think there's a single district attorney's office that's going to have the same district attorney at the head of it come the new year. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? Do you worry about sort of losing a lot of institutional knowledge across the region?
So I think there's pros and cons to it. So right now I'm the president of the Nevada District Attorneys Association, and I got to say it is a sobering thing to look around at a room full of people that I've worked with these past few years and realize that the large majority won't be there. And you're right, of the races going on this year, Douglas County is one of those that's staying. So there were some that I don't think were up for re-election this year, because I believe Clark County is still sticking around. Mm-hmm. You have Elko, who's still sticking around, and White Pine as well. But pretty much the rest of the state is changing over. So there is a loss of some knowledge. The nice thing is for those who are staying, both the Elko County District Attorney, Douglas County, and Clark County have a lot of institutional knowledge. And we've done a lot of things in the District Attorneys Association to ensure that we're, I guess, sharing knowledge and best practices across the state. So I do believe there'll be enough continuity to kind of continue that process, because that's important to ensure that we have proper prosecution within the state. But the benefit of the changeover is you get new ideas, a fresh perspective. And I think it also, with people who have just been recently elected, they've spent a lot of time with the public, and it ensures that the public is being heard and that their voices are carrying through into prosecution.
That makes sense. We're going to take a break. We'll come back and talk about the JP race.
Sounds good.
Come back.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
Meet Nevada Health Link, Nevada's official health insurance marketplace. Your link to savings, selection, free assistance, and name brand health insurance. Where 90% of enrollees lower the cost of their monthly premium. Everyone deserves access to quality health coverage, no matter your income or family size. Visit NevadaHealthLink.com. A few minutes could save you hundreds of dollars per month.
Nevada Health Link. Our plans are made for your plans.
The trucking industry is the most resilient link in the supply chain. And for over 90 years, the Nevada Trucking Association has been the voice for the men and women in the trucking industry. From Carson City to Washington, D.C., we advocate for policies to protect our trucking companies and keep commerce flowing. Because Nevada's and America's prosperity is tied to trucks. There's nothing without trucking.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. This is Orrin Johnson filling in for Sam Shadd. If you're just joining us, with me today is Garrett Pruitt, who is the current District Attorney of Carson City and a candidate for Carson City Justice of the Peace Department 3. So Department 3 doesn't currently exist, correct?
That's correct. It doesn't exist until the new year.
All right. That was a statutory change just because of the size of the county.
Right. So the minute that Carson City passed that 60,000 person threshold, it was pretty much incumbent upon the city to expand the courts. The next threshold's not for another 20,000 person. So it's going to be years and years away before Carson City ever gets to that point.
So what made you want to switch branches of government? What prompted the attempt for the leap?
So as a prosecutor, we practice in the justice court every day. We practice in the district court almost every day. And I can tell you, I think there's a lot of good that can be done in the justice court. So there's a huge effect.
So before you answer that question, and sometimes it's easy to forget as a lawyer, we're in the courts all the time. We know what the difference between district court and justice court and all these things. So explain, what is the difference between the justice court and the district court? How does that matter to regular people?
So our justice courts are a court of limited jurisdiction, which means to say that they don't quite do everything. They act as the initial funnel for almost everything coming into our court system at the criminal level. So any arrest, they're going to see a justice of the peace. And it doesn't matter what kind of crime. So if it's a misdemeanor crime, it will run its whole life in the justice court. If it's a felony crime, the initial evidentiary hearings, your preliminary hearing, your bail considerations, that happens in the justice court before it goes to the district court. But then they hear things from evictions to protective orders, small claims. So it really becomes the court that I would say most of the community is going to interact with.
So please continue. I interrupt you, but I think that explanation was important. So why Justice of the Peace? Why not stay as the DA?
So I love practicing in the justice court. I always have. So much good is done there. So as district attorney, I get to do a lot of good. I mean, probably a little bit more on the policy level, whether it's helping the city through its civil issues or looking at some of the big prosecutions that may come in a jurisdiction. But a justice court, as I said, especially since it deals with a lot of your misdemeanor, your minor offenses from theft, your DUI crimes, your batteries, bar fights, all those types of things, you interact with a lot of people who it's their first time in the criminal justice system. And for a good majority of them, it's their last time in the criminal justice system. So it's an opportunity to ensure that there's accountability, which is fantastic because it protects whatever community it is. It also places the defendant in a position to move forward, and it also protects the victim in those cases. So it's an area of law I've loved to be a part of. It's my absolute favorite. So when the opportunity came up, I took it.
No, that's fair. So one of the things that, you know, as a criminal defense attorney, we worry about sometimes, and prosecutors take the bench and then they don't quite stop being prosecutors. And we all have those inclinations. We've known each other for a long time. I'm sure you're not going to go twirl your mustache at my clients, at least I hope. But how do you effectively shift that mindset, do you think, to tell people that you worked with a few months ago that they're wrong or you know, deny the request or that sort of thing? How do you keep that separation?
So to me, it's kind of a natural transition. So one of the things that prosecutors don't do that I think a good chunk of the community doesn't know is we get a number of cases that we no charge. Law enforcement may have arrested that individual and be like, hey, they're good for this. And we're like, no, evidence is not sufficient. I can understand why you had probable cause to arrest, all those things, but there is insufficient evidence to convict. And so we have kind of those, I guess confrontations may not be the right word, but differences of opinion where we're making the decision, no, this is not just, this is not proper. So we also receive, as prosecutors, we would assist in search warrants, and judges would hear those search warrants. But there's been many a phone call that I've gotten. I'm like, probable cause is not there. We're not going there. So I'm going to evaluate each case that would come before me and in accordance with the law. And if it's not there, it's not there. If there's not enough evidence for guilt, there's just not. And I don't have any heartburn about that because everyone's innocent until proven guilty. And if the evidence isn't there to prove it, then it's not.
Now, that's a great threshold question. I appreciate all that. One of the things that I've observed in many years of practicing in Carson Justice Court is that of all the courts, it has a tendency, I think, to try to help people to death. Most of the time, as you certainly know, guilt or innocence isn't really the issue. It's what to do about somebody when they're there and the facts are there. How much do we punish them? How much do we try to help them? And sometimes Carson City is sort of very aggressive in its supervision. And sometimes that's great, and sometimes it's a little bit less great. So tell us how you sort of evaluate that as somebody comes forward.
So to me, it's important to look at an individual. So if a defendant has come before the court, you got to see them where they're at. There are people who may be perfect for probation, drug treatment, all those types of things. There are others who aren't there. And maybe it is that jail time is the most appropriate and they're looking to either leave the state, move on with their life. And I think if you fail to look at where people are and you try and do a one-size approach for everyone, you're going to end up with either too much enforcement on one side or not enough enforcement on the other. So one of the most important things is listening to that defense attorney when this is where my client is and listening to the defendant, but ensuring that whatever the ultimate sentence is for that one, does it have the deterrent effect? Does it make the victim whole in that case? And does it put them in the best position to succeed? And there's no way that it's going to be the same for every person who comes before a court.
All right. Well, when we come back, we'll talk about all my other grievances. No, I'm just kidding. But with some other questions about the Carson City Justice Court when we come back.
A power line is more than a power line. It's maintaining the bottom line for small businesses. It's keeping the assembly line moving for our workforce. For our brightest minds, it's meeting a deadline. It's on the front line with our heroes. And on the sidelines of the biggest games. It's a direct line to our loved ones. And it's a lifeline for the most vulnerable. There's a lot on the line.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
You're in trouble with the law. It's easy to think you'll lose everything, but there is hope. I'm Attorney Oren Johnson. Your first step is to hire a serious attorney with the experience to successfully navigate the legal system for you.
Sometimes hope means addiction treatment instead of jail and making sure you're treated fairly.
Sometimes hope means fearless trial attorneys who will stand up to the government when they get it wrong. Call or text Oren Johnson Law.
We'll make a plan.
You'll take back your life.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. This is Oren Johnson filling in for Sam Shadd. Just joining us with me once again is Carson City District Attorney Garrett Pruitt, who's now currently a candidate for Carson City Justice of the Peace Department 3. So we were talking about, you know, some of the things that you look for and how you analyze people come before you, but you also mentioned, obviously, that Carson is getting bigger, has gotten bigger, and that's why this new department exists. So what is that going to lead to other changes within the court system? What's happening with the Carson City courts that I can tell you from experience, and I know you know, too, are pretty darn cramped?
Yes, we are cramped. So on the city's list of to-dos is some, I guess, internal expansion in the courthouse. They're looking to rehouse some members of our courthouse who are currently on the first floor. It's our clerk recorder's office outside, and kind of start moving people around because we're short courtrooms within the courthouse. We're short even offices in the district attorney's offices. I got people who are stacked right on top of each other. So yeah, there's going to be a lot of internal movement as far as people and places within that building.
So how closely, as these changes occur, now obviously you're running for justice of the peace and not district court, but nevertheless, I assume you'd be working closely with the district court, yes?
Yes.
And the district court in Carson City, I mean, that's where state-level policy lawsuits get filed. One of the big complaints that, you know, media people, attorneys have had is that our state capitol does not have electronic filing. Almost every other, even the most remote rural county, has seemed to have electronic filing. Is that going to change in the justice court?
That is going to change. So I think it was just last week a contract was approved, at least to move forward on a contract with a digital court program in order to correct that very issue. The idea being we do need e-filing. I mean, we're one of the few jurisdictions in the state that don't have it. And it
now, other than lawyers whining about having to physically go file stuff, explain why electronic filing is so beneficial to just citizens at large, even if they're not litigants in the court.
So one of the things it does is it saves taxpayers. I mean, there is obviously a cost to an e-filing system, but it reduces personnel. So I can tell you when the district attorney's office that I'm in right now, when we went to an electronic database to hold all of our files and we got rid of physical files, per support staff member, I was able to save about 8 hours per week per support staff member. And then things weren't getting lost and you could find cases and so much easier. Right now, the court's on a paper file system, which means it goes from a clerk to a judge, back to a clerk. Things can get misplaced and then they got to find out. All that results in a lot of employee time. And then the access to the public is so much more diminished. So a public can then have better access to records that would be contained in that database that would be allowed to be seen by the public.
So what's the timeline for that implementation?
So I think they're working through a contract process with a goal of starting to load all the documents and everything next year. And I believe they're hoping to have it go live sometime in 2028, if not right at the beginning.
2028.
I know. That's the last thing I saw on there. I'm hoping it goes quicker. To me, the sooner the better. I've gotten used to not having paper files anymore. We don't have any, which has changed everything. We're 10 times more efficient because of it.
Interesting, interesting. I still prefer dead trees myself, but when it comes to the filing, electronic filing is the way to go. So a couple more minutes we have left. What other, specifically I want to ask you about sort of justice court, specialty courts. Obviously there's a lot of programs in place that, you know, find a middle ground between just crime and punishment, sort of more heavily supervised people that need that. And those programs are often sort of evolving, improving, sometimes the other way, but usually improving. What are your thoughts about what can be done better in the Carson City Justice Court? What do you look to try to improve during your time on the bench?
So one of the things that I would like to see start up is so all of your specialty courts, for the most part, there's a risk assessment that takes place beforehand. You got to ensure that a person has the appropriate risk and need to take part in a specialty court so that you don't provide too many services or overburden a person that doesn't need them.
And tell us super briefly, explain what a specialty court is and what it does.
So a specialty court, most people kind of refer to them as like a drug court. So we have specialty courts that are drug courts. We have a misdemeanor drug court and we have a felony drug court. There's veterans courts for persons who are veterans themselves but are also experiencing substance abuse issues. And then we have our mental health court. And that's a person who oftentimes they have substance abuse issues and mental health disorders and it's creating a whole mess until it's addressed.
And so the people come in, they're seen once a week, so just higher levels of supervision. At the misdemeanor level, can they get their charges dismissed if they successfully complete the program?
So they can. It depends on, obviously, the deal that's structured between them and the state. But there are a good number of participants who go in. with essentially what would be a deferred sentence is the term we would use, who, yes, if upon completion of that drug court time, they could have it dismissed. Others, it may be that, hey, if you complete this, you don't have to have as big of a sentence as you may otherwise would have had. So it's kind of the mix. It depends on the offense.
So how do you improve the system as it is? I know, again, we talked about it a little bit. Sometimes the hand is a little heavier in Carson City. There's been some issues in the media with the Department of Alternative Sentencing. How do you balance that while still keeping the community safe and holding people accountable?
So to me, it's important that that the drug courts are consistent. I mean, the sanctions that are given out should be consistent among all participants. And then you got to make sure that things like testing and all of that, that they're done to the appropriate measure for each person. So essentially kind of an auditing process to ensure that, yes, the practices that are being used are appropriate and they're doing what they're supposed to do.
Got it. Well, I'd love to talk further about it. It's intriguing, but unfortunately we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All right. And we'll be right back.
Each day, the Children's Advocacy Alliance partners with leaders, legislators, and families across Nevada to improve children's health, education, economic well-being, and safety. We recognize Nevada will be no better than the state of its children. Be a part of this change. Be a supporter of the Children's Advocacy Alliance. For more information, go to caanv.org.
Welcome to the Ahern Hotel, where bold ambition meets unforgettable experiences. Feel your game day vibes and celebrate with great food at All American Sports Kitchen, serving amazing flavors and fan favorites. Sip and savor at Aroma Barista Bar, handcrafted coffee roasted to perfection. Step into the Ahern Live Showroom, where concerts, comedy, and unforgettable performances light up the night. We also have the David Yule Art Gallery. It's the only one in the world, and his work is breathtaking. Browse the gift shop. It's a treasure trove of keepsakes, chic essentials, and one-of-a-kind finds. And the space. Almost 30,000 square feet of meetings and events areas ready for you. From weddings and birthdays to quinceañeras, trade shows, banquets, and beauty pageants. Bigger ideas? Let the Ahern team handle all the details so your event is flawless. Ahern Hotel, where moments become memories. Book your next gathering today.
Carson Valley Inn, it's your place for the good times. Carson Valley Inn.
Imagine a magical garden that feeds Carson City's hungry and homeless, teaches our high school students agriculture, creates hanging floral displays to beautify downtown, and yet charges nothing. It's not magic. It's the Greenhouse Project. It's real, it's growing, and it needs your help. Go online to carsoncitygreenhouse.org so together we can grow it forward.
At Nevada Urban Indians in Reno, your health is our priority. Our medical clinic welcomes everyone. We accept all insurances, ensuring quality care is within reach. Nevada Urban Indians. Your partners in health.
And that's all the time we have for today. This has been Oren Johnson filling in for Sam Schaff. If you'd like to join us 24/7 on NevadaNewsmakers.com, or you can download our podcast on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for watching and listening. This has been Nevada Newsmakers.